الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is another lesson that we're having reading from the Sharh of Al-Usul al-Thalatha by our beloved Sheikh Sheikh Saleh ibn Fawzan al-Fawzan Hafizahullah Ta'ala, with comments from other works and other books of the ulama of the Salaf and of the present times. Last week we left off on the issue of Hijrah, that which the author mentioned, that Hijrah, or migration, is obligatory upon this Ummah from the land of Shirk to the land of Islam, and it is something that will remain until the Day of Judgment. And the author, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, mentions, and even author, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions as a proof for that the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah An-Nisa, which is one of the proofs that the ulama use to inform of the obligation of migration. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah An-Nisa, the 97th to the 100th verse, where Allah Ta'ala mentions about the angels taking the fold of those who have wronged themselves, those who have oppressed themselves. And the angels question those individuals. The angels question those individuals, and they said, what was your state? And this could possibly be used as a proof that the angels question individuals upon taking their souls, other than what we know from the questioning of the grave, which is that the angels question the individual about their religion, the angels question the individual about their Lord, their religion, and their prophet. This verse in the Quran also informs that the angels also say to them, and question them with regards to what was their state. So they said, قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَدْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They would say, and there's other proof of that. I will mention another proof of that to show you that the angels, not in the grave, but thereafter, on Yawm al-Qiyamah and the likes, the angels do ask the individuals other questions. And I will mention another proof for that. But here, the angel would say, what was your state? And we don't know, is this on Arafat, Yawm al-Qiyamah? Is this while the people are standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Or is this while the people are in the hellfire? Allahu A'lam. And inshallah, that may be one of the questions that I would ask one of the mashayikh. So the angels would say to those individuals, what was your state? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They would say that we were oppressed, we were weak. قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتحاجر فيها. The angels would reply, was not the earth of Allah spacious so that you may migrate within it? فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا. Their abode would be the hellfire, and it is a terrible abode. The abode would be the hellfire, and it's a terrible abode. The Sheikh Saleh and Fawzan Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he would explain that this does not mean that they have left the fold of Islam. It just means that they have committed a sin. It means that they have committed a sin. Before continuing, now there's proof in the Quran, as well as in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to show that the angels do speak to and question individuals while they're in the hellfire. أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِي وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. And Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Quran that the angels will say to them, have not a messenger came to you and warned you of the verses and other verses in the Quran where the angels speak to the people in the hellfire, and they do so to debase them. They do so to debase them. Now, so this affair that we're reading about now is the fact that this verse in Surah An-Nisa, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Rahim Allah Ta'ala is using this as a proof to say that Hijrah is wajib, along with the other proofs that are going to be mentioned by the Sunnah, in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they're going to come in the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan Habib Allah Ta'ala. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan Habib Allah Ta'ala mentions about these verses that these two verses in it is a threat. In it is a threat and a warning upon the individual who does not implement and act upon migration from the land of disbelief to the land of belief, from the land of shirk and kufr to the land of tawheed. وَهُوَ يَخْتِرُ عَلَيْهَا. Notice what the Shaykh said. And in these two verses is a warning upon the individual who abandons and forsakes and does not act upon migration, and he has the ability to do it. That's an important condition. So that's one of the conditions. You can put that as the first condition, that the person has the ability to do so. Because notice in the verse, in the following verse, إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حَيْلَةً وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. Allah says in the 98th verse, except those who were weak from amongst the men and the women and the children, they did not have a means, nor did they have any type of direction. They didn't have the means financially, nor did they know how to perform, how to act upon the migration. Yes, there's some from amongst us, whether we're in America, or whether we're in England, and the likes of that. There's some individuals, they don't have the financial means to make hijrah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the Quran, Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fattaqullaha ma sata'tum." Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the Quran, "So fear Allah to the best of your ability." And Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that which is in the hearts. So an individual that does not have the ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold that individual accountable. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَى وَالنِّسْيَانُ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned for my ummah the mistake and that which they did out of forgetfulness, and that which they were forced to. That which they were forced to. So this is one of the things that Allah Azza wa Jal has pardoned for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan says, وَأَنَّ مَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مُصِيرًا. The individual that had the ability but abandoned the migration, his abode would be the hellfire, and it is a terrible abode. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Even though, Shaykh Fawzan said, even though the individual does not leave the fold of Islam. So it shows you that abandoning and forsaking migration is not kufr. It does not take an individual out of the fold of Islam. Cutting through some of the speech of Shaykh Salih Fawzan Habib Allah Ta'ala, then the author, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, he mentions another proof. He mentions another proof from Surah Al-Ankabut, which is the 56th verse, or the 65th verse of one, verse 56. Allah Ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ أَرْضِ وَاسِعَةٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Ankabut, O my servants, those who believe, verily, my earth, my land is spacious, so worship me. Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and his name is Abu Muhammad al-Hassan al-Hussein bin Mas'ud al-Baghawi, and he died 516 Hijri. He's one of the Salaf. He's one of the Salaf that from Ahl Sunnah that has a tafsir of the Quran. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan Habibullah Ta'ala, he was asked, what are the books of tafsir of the Salaf that do not have deviation in terms of i'tiqad? Because you have a good number, or you have a number of books of the Salaf that have deviation in i'tiqad. So Sheikh Salih Fawzan Habibullah Ta'ala, when he was explaining in the question and answer session a few years ago, when he was explaining Surah Al-Hujurat, and he finished it, Habibullah Ta'ala, he finished it about 3 years ago, and the book is already printed, Walillahi Alhamd, from Surah Al-Hujurat to Surah Al-Nas, two thick volumes, and I advise my brothers and sisters, if they have the ability to purchase the book, they should do so. And that, while Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Habibullah Ta'ala, was having the question and answer session at the end of that book, it was said to him, what are the books of the Salaf of tafsir that do not have deviation in i'tiqad, in belief? And he said, from amongst them, the best of them is tafsir at-Tabari, Ibn Jarir at-Tabari. And then he mentioned the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and he likewise mentioned the tafsir of Imam al-Baghawi. So he said, those are the three books of the Salaf. Those are the three books of the Salaf that do not have deviation in i'tiqad, tafsir at-Tabari, Tafsir Ibn Kathir, and Tafsir al-Baghawi. And I should say them in order. Tafsir al-Tabari, then Tafsir al-Baghawi, this Tafsir right here. Tafsir al-Baghawi, because Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, died 516. And Ibn Kathir died 700 and something. So it's Tafsir al-Tabari, Tafsir al-Baghawi, and then Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. And he also mentioned from the present day scholars, the Tafsir of Sheikh Muhammad al-Shankiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, who is one of the scholars of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, and he mentioned the tafsir of Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi. The tafsir of Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Naam. Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, سبب نزول هذه الآية في المسلمين الذين بمكة ولم يحاجروا ناداهم الله باسم الإيمان. These verses that were mentioned by the author in Surah An-Nisa, as likewise in Surah Al-Ankabut, these verses were revealed about the Muslims who were in Mecca and they did not migrate. Allah called them with Iman. Allah called them with Iman. And that statement of Imam al-Baghawi is important because that informed, if Allah called them with Iman, that informed that they have not left the fold of Islam because of or by not migrating. So it's a sin, but it's not something that makes them leave the fold of Islam. And this is something that the Khawarij don't understand, the Khawarij of the past and the Khawarij of the present. The Khawarij of the past and the Khawarij of the present don't realize that an individual can commit a major sin, but that doesn't take them out of the fold of Islam. Because part of the foundations of the belief of the Khawarij is that if an individual commits a major sin, it takes them out of the fold of Islam. And there's many proofs in the Quran, as Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ عُوْفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاءٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the individual who kills another individual and the hearers of the murdered individual. If they forgive the murderer, Allah Ta'ala says, so whoever forgives his brother or whoever is forgiven by his brother, the family members of the murdered individual have not committed a sin. The murderer committed a sin. But Allah described them as brothers, which means they both are still believers. They both are still within the fold of Islam. Even the murderer, even the one who has murdered a Muslim, is still in the fold of Islam. Yani the action of murder does not take him out of the fold of Islam. Of course, unless he feels that this is something which is permissible and that Islam has not forbade killing and the likes of that. But in terms of the action itself, him merely killing another Muslim and knowing that he's wrong and he's committed a sin, then this is something that doesn't take our individual out of the fold of Islam, although it is one of the most major, it's extremely major sin. It's from the most extreme of sins is to kill another believer. Now, so Shaykh Salaf Odan, Habibu Allah Ta'ala, mentions, he says, وَإِن تَرْكَ الْحِجْرَ فَقَدْ تَرْكَ وَاجِبًا. So whoever has abandoned migration, then he has abandoned something which is obligatory. وَكَانَ حَاسِيًا. And he has committed a sin. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَخْرُجْ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِتَرْكِ الْحِجْرَ. But he has not left the fold of Islam by abandoning migration. وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْهِ وَعِيدٌ شَدِيدٌ. But there is a strong, severe threat and warning for this individual. Then Allah Azza wa Jal explained the individuals that the obligation or the individuals who are not held blameworthy. Those are المستضعفين إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان يعني الأطفال. The Sheikh said, so the individuals that are weak from amongst the men, old men, they don't have the ability, handicapped, they don't have the ability, or the women, or the children. مَا عِنْدَهُمْ إِمْكَانِيَاتِ. Sheikh Salaf Fuzan said, they don't have the ability, they don't have any type of means. وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. أي مَا يَعْرِفُونَ تَرِيقَ إِلَى بَلَدَ الْمَدِينَةِ لِأَنَّ الْهِجْرَةَ تَحْتَاجْ إِلَى سَفَرٍ. وَإِلَّا فَالْإِنسَانْ يَحْلِكْ خِلَالَ الْهِجْرَةِ إِذَا كَانَ لَا يَعْرِفُ الطَّرِيقَ فَأُطْرُهُمْ فِي أَمْرَيْنِ. So Sheikh Salaf Fuzan said, so it's if the person doesn't know how to migrate, person doesn't have the funds, or they have the funds but they don't know how to migrate. And there's some people they don't know how. There's some people they don't know how. They don't know which country to go to. They don't know the rules and the laws of that country. So they just don't have the ability. So these are the two reasons why an individual is not held accountable, and that is if the individual does not have the means, and or the individual does not know the way. And this also informs us of a benefit, and that is that there are two things that you should secure. There are two things that you should secure if you intend to make hijrah. And that is, one, you should have the financial stability, the financial means. And it doesn't mean that you have, enough money to last you for the rest of your life. That's not practical. That's not practical, and that wasn't the way of the Kentines when they migrated from Mecca to Al-Medina. They didn't have enough money to last them for the rest of their lives, no. But you have enough money for the journey, and you have money to last you for a period of time while you reach the new country or the new land. That's one. So you should have the financial ability. And two, you should have, you should know the way. You should know the means, meaning you should know, okay, what do I do? What do I need to do to leave this country in terms of a passport, in terms of selling my car, you know, giving up my apartment? You know, are there any things that I need to know before I leave this country? Like in terms of debts, do I have any debts that I need to pay in this country before I leave that might prevent me? You know, likewise, in the new country that I plan on traveling to, what is the visa situation? How do I obtain a visa? I don't want to be there illegal. How do I obtain a visa? What are the prices of the apartments? What are the prices of, you know, certain things? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keep in mind, and we mentioned this previously, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave Mecca until he was secured. And the people of Medina gave him oath that they would support him, protect him, and accept him. Believe in him, support him, protect him, and accept him, and defend him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is a lesson for all of us. That is a lesson for all of us, that we don't just leave somewhere without knowing the ins and outs of where we're going to. It's important that we know the ins and outs of where we're going to, so that we can, for one, implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for two, so we can have longevity. So that we can have longevity, not that we stay there for 2-3 months and then we have to find a new place to go. Now, so Sheikh Salaf Fuzan, Habib Allah Ta'ala, mentions the two reasons why the individual is pardoned. Now, then you have the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah Ta'ala says, O my servants who believe, Verily, my land is spacious, so it is me you should worship. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, Habib Allah Ta'ala, هذه الآية من سورة العنكبوت وفيها الأمر بالحجرة. In these verses in سورة العنكبوت, you have the obligation with migration, and you also have Allah informing that His earth is spacious. So if you are in a land, and I'm translating without reading the Arabic, but because at times reading the Arabic takes extra long. So Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, so if you are in a land that you cannot apparently practice your religion, and we're going to expound on that maybe in tonight's lesson or maybe in a future lesson, maybe next week, but we're going to expound on what the scholars mean when they say, you can apparently practice your religion. There's some specifics in that regard. So if an individual is in a land where he cannot apparently practice and openly practice his religion, for verily the earth of Allah is spacious. It is upon an individual to migrate, and he should not remain in that land which is evil, but rather he should go throughout the earth of Allah, which is spacious. And Allah has made His earth spacious. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, and a proof for hijrah is the statement of the Prophet from the Sunnah. A proof for hijrah from the Sunnah is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, where he says that the hijrah will not end until the tawbah ends. That is, until the individual dies, tawbah ends in two cases. Whichever one comes first, the tawbah, the repentance to Allah, it ends. Whether you die, tawbah is no longer accepted. Or whether the sun rises from the west. As it's in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, hijrah will not end and cease until the tawbah ceases and ends. And the tawbah would not end until the sun rises from the west. But you have another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah would accept the repentance from the individual until his soul reaches his throat. So we combine Ahl Sunnah, we combine all of the proofs, and we understand that Tawbah does not end until one of two things happens first. Either you are present when the sun rises from the west, then after that, everyone would believe and try to enter into Islam and try to obey Allah. It will no longer be accepted, or death comes to you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, so hijrah will never end. So we understand that to be, and that hadith is in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood, as well as in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad, on the authority of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. As Sheikh Saleh Fawzan mentioned in the previous page, or two pages prior to us reading it now. So we understand that the Prophet ﷺ is ordering his ummah to make hijrah. And Allah Azza wa Jal, in Surah An-Nisa, is likewise in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning the affair of hijrah. Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, about that verse of Allah in Surah Al-Ankabut, he says, فَإِذَا تَعَذَّرَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ, if you do not have the ability, and once again I'm going to just translate it in English because of time, if you do not have the ability to worship Allah in a particular land, فَارْتَحِلُوا مِنْهَا إِلَىٰ أَرْضٍ أُخْرَىٰ, then it is upon you to travel to another land. Another land where you can worship Allah alone. For verily, the places of the worship of Allah, they are plentiful. And the one who you worship is one. And verily, death will come upon you. And then you would return to your Lord. And Allah will reward those who were good with good. Those who combine between Iman and righteous deeds. To the end of that which the Sheikh mentioned. And the reason why the Sheikh, Habibullah Ta'ala, or Afwan, the reason why the Sheikh, Rahimullah Ta'ala, mentioned about death is because of the verse itself. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut, and this is something that it's good that we mention. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu inna ardullahi wasi'atun fa iyyaya ta'budun. Allah says, as Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab, and this is something that I encourage my brothers and sisters to do when they read the books of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, rahimahullah ta'ala, have the Quran next to you. Have the Quran next to you. And open up the Quran to the verses that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab mentioned, because at times you find even more fawaid when you read the prior verse or the previous or the following verse. When you read the prior or the following verse, you find other fawaid that help you in understanding the intent of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, the 56, where Allah Ta'ala says, O my servants who believe, indeed my earth is spacious, so worship me. Then Allah says, Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Everyone would taste death. ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And then you would return to us. SubhanAllah, that's a wonderful faida. It's a wonderful faida that Allah Ta'ala says, O my servants who believe, my land is spacious, so worship me alone. Everyone would taste death, and then they would return to me. So that informs you that it's upon an individual, and that's an encouragement for an individual to migrate. To migrate so that you can worship Allah, because what? Because death is going to come to you. And you will return to your Lord, and Allah would hold you accountable for your deeds. So it is not for an individual to use, as we understood from Surah An-Nisa, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab already mentioned. It's not for an individual to use what people would try to use, or the excuse that people would try to use when the angels say to them, Fima kuntum, what state were you in? What state were you in? What would they say? Kunna mustada'afina fil ard. They said, we were oppressed. So it's not for anyone. We're alive. Walillahi alhamd. May Allah forgive our brothers who have passed away and that had fallen into this. No, we are alive. We hear the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. We hear the verses of Allah. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah is informing you that the angels will question you. What was your affair? Why were you committing these sins? Why were your children leaving the fold of Islam? Why were your wives leaving Islam, no longer practicing this, that, that? What would you say? كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You would say, we were oppressed. The angel will respond to you, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُحَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Was not the earth of Allah spacious so that you can migrate? So that you can migrate, Allah reminds us that the question, that the angels will question us in that regard. And likewise, here in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah reminds us of death. So before that death befalls you, as Allah Ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ دَائِقَةٌ مَوْتٌ. Everyone will taste a death. Everyone will taste death. So before that comes to you, and you get what? You get questioned by the angels, as Allah mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, it is upon you to do what? إِنَّ أَرْضِ وَاسِعَةٌ. My earth is spacious. So this is a call from our Lord, Barakat Allah. Yes, Allah says, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah says, oh, my servants who believe, my land is spacious. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Now, in continuing. So then Sheikh Salih Fawzan Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he mentions about, you know, those individuals that tried to say the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, لا هجرة بعد الفتح. There is no migration after the conquering of Mecca. Sheikh Salih Fawzan Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he explains that is referring to the people of Mecca. After Mecca was conquered and became a land of the Muslims, people no longer have to migrate from Mecca. So how do we understand the apparent contradiction, which there is no contradiction in the religion of Islam? But how we do we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Abu Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that hijrah will never cease to the end of the hadith. How do we understand that? How do we reconcile between that hadith and the hadith which is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim on the authority of Ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no migration after the conquering of Mecca. We combine them and reconcile them by understanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about the people of Mecca. They no longer have to migrate from Mecca. Then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, فَلَمَّ اسْتَقَرَّ بِالْمَدِينَةِ أُمِرَ بِبَقِيَةِ الشَّرَائِعِ. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, when they settled in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to propagate and inform of the rest of the legislation, such as the zakat and the fasting and the hajj and the jihad. Why didn't he say salat? Because salat was legislated right before the Prophet migrated from Mecca. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mention salat, because salat was legislated right before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca. Now, so when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam settled in Mecca with the Muslims, they were ordered with the rest of the legislation, such as zakat and fasting and hajj and jihad, and the adhan, because the adhan is the announcement of the prayer, and it's done loud or loudly. So it couldn't have been done in Mecca because the Muslims feared the kuffar. They were in a state of, or I should say, they were in a state, they feared the punishment and the torture of the kuffar. They were in a state of oppression. And like we've mentioned in previous lessons, وَالْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and they were ordered to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكْ مِنْ شَرَائِي الْإِسْلَامِ, and other than that from the legislations of Islam. And this informs of the importance of the Muslims having a stronghold, the Muslims having their own land, the Muslims having their own villages. Why? Because they can enjoin the good and forbid the evil to a greater extent. They can enjoin the good and forbid the evil to a greater extent. And we understand that. And if we can't, the Muslims, when they have their own land, when they have their own villages, when they have their own cities, they can enjoin the good and forbid the evil. But they cannot do that in the land of the kuffar. To a great extent, they can't even do that in their own homes in the land of the kuffar to a great extent. Why? Because if my child, or if any of our children, do something wrong Islamically in our home in America or in England or in Australia, and we admonish them and forbade them, it's possible that they complain to the authorities, and the next thing you know, the authorities, by law in America, England, Canada, Australia, by law, they can take your children. And they can put the father in jail. They can put the mother in jail. And that's one of the things that we mentioned. We want to go into detail when the scholars say that you can openly practice your religion. Because that's one of the things that informs that you do not have the ability to openly practice your religion. You cannot admonish your daughter in America, England, Canada, Australia, you know, the likes of that. You cannot admonish your daughter in public if she no longer wants to wear hijab. Or, when a'udhu billah, and may Allah protect us, all of us, from this. If your daughter walks out on the street in hijab, and then she just gets upset, and the shaitan comes to her and whispers to her, and she removes it, and you say, put it on, and you start screaming at her, put it on. What will happen to you? You can get arrested. So does this mean you can openly practice your religion? By Allah Azza wa Jalla, man fawqa sab'i samawat. Allah from above the heavens has given me the authority to admonish my daughter, to admonish my wife, to admonish my children. But I can't do it openly in America. I can get arrested. My children can be taken from me. And I'm not talking about things that don't take place. This actually takes place. Brothers and sisters get their whole children, their whole family, 9 children, 7 children, all of them get removed from the home because of them admonishing them in public? No. Even them admonishing them in their own home. You can't punish your children. You can't admonish them. You can't forbid them from watching television, the likes of that. If they inform the authorities, they take your children. You have to go to court. They put you in jail. Children get put in foster homes. Is this practicing your religion? This is something that we have to reflect over. Now, so then, when the Muslims settled in Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered, and then he ordered the Muslims with the other legislation or the other tenets of the legislation of Islam, and he was upon this for 10 years, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وبعدها توفي صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ودينه باقي. And after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, death came to him. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, but his religion remains. And this is the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا خير إلا دل الأمة إلا دل الأمة عليه ولا شر إلا حذرها منه. There's no good except the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed, and there's no evil except the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade and warned against. And because of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you have a hadith, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned this, but you have a hadith in that regard, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min nabiyyin illa kana haqqan alayhi an yadilla ummatahu ala khayr fi ma ya'lamuhu lahum wa yuhadhdhiruhum min ash-sharr fi ma ya'lamuhu lahum." To the end of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There's no prophet except that it was the right upon his ummah, or the right of the ummah upon him. There was no prophet except that it was the right of his ummah, his followers upon him, to inform them and guide them and direct them to the good that he knew about, and to warn them, and to warn them of the evil." So the Prophet ﷺ said this was the right of the ummahs, this was upon the right of the nations, of the ummah, the plural of, that's an English plural, to say ummas, ummah, the plural of ummah is umm. For ummah is umm, so with the right of the umm upon their prophets to inform them and direct them to the good. So Salah Fawzan says, and the good, or Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said, and the good that they informed them of was Tawheed. This is the foundation. This is the foundation that they informed them of. They informed them of Tawheed and everything that Allah was loved with and is pleased with. And the evil that they warned them of was shirk, and everything that Allah disliked and forbade. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all of the people, and he made it incumbent upon the people to obey him. The people, the humans, and the jinn. And the proof for that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is the proof for the last part, the proof for the fact that Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all of the people, is the statement of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 157, where Allah said to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to the people, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you. I'm the messenger of Allah to all of you. And this is from the khasa'is of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is from the things that were specific for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I have been given things that the other prophets were not given. And in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ كَافَةً. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and a prophet was sent to his own people, but I was sent to all of mankind. I was sent to all of mankind. And we know that he was sent to the jinn as well, because of the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Jinn. The statement of Allah in Surah Al-Jinn, where they mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah ta'ala, mentions, and he mentions this, as has preceded, is informing that the religion of Islam was sent in stages. And actually, he mentioned this after, it was sent in stages until it was complete. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was complete before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And That which informs that the religion was complete is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the next verse, which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I have completed your religion. I have perfected my favor, and I am pleased with Islam as your religion. Sheikh Salah Fawzan says, وبعد النزول هذه الآية بمدة يسيرة توفي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ودينه باق إلى أن تقوم الساعة. After this verse was revealed, meaning the verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the third verse. And we know that Sheikh Salah Fawzan is going to mention it, but this was revealed during the farewell pilgrimage. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died a few months after the farewell pilgrimage. The Sheikh Salah Fawzan said this verse was revealed, and after its revelation, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died shortly after, but his religion, yani the religion that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent with, the religion that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sent with, it will last until the day of judgment. Sheikh Salah Fawzan said, so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not die until Allah completed and perfected the religion, and Allah completed his favor, and then Allah revealed this verse. And the Sheikh mentioned, and this verse was revealed upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while he was standing on Arafah during the farewell pilgrimage on the day of Jum'ah. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived for a short period of time, and then he returned to his Lord, to Barak wa Ta'ala. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left his ummah upon clarity, white, clear clarity. Its day is distinct like its night, and no one deviates from it except that he is destroyed. No one deviates from it except that he is destroyed. Inshallah, we'll stop on that point, and next week we will mention issues related to these verses, issues related to the religion being complete, and then we will take it from there. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.